The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Ketubot has been dedicated by our dear friend Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. May the zikut of the limud of Masechet Ketubot stand for him that he should have Be'azat Hashem, Hashanah Tovah Mborechet, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, Shalom Bayit V'Hatzlacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadav. And Be'azat Hashem, may he continue to be a supporter of Torah and all holy projects. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Uri Nidam, Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu, in honor of all the members of the Minyan, all the members of the Daf HaYomi, and in honor of the Rabbi, Tiskel Mitzvot, may he continue to succeed. Aslaha v'arvaha b'chol ma'asi yadav. Amen. Daf Kuf Dalid. Today's daf is being studied Le'alu Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tenihenu began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Refu'a Shelema Yosef ben Sarah v'Sarah bat Rachel. Enna refana daem betoch shar chodei amo Yisrael. Amen. We begin today's daf on Kuf Dalid Amud Rishon. And we are starting on the top line. Now, who you mad? And Achnav Shed Rabbi, on the day that Rabbeinu HaKadosh passed away, Gazru Rabbanan Ta'anita. The rabbis declared a fast day, Uba'u Rahameh. And they prayed to Kadosh Baruch Hu Va'amre, and they said, Kolman De'aman Nachnav Shed Rabbi Yidaker Bahirev. Anybody that says that the Rabbeinu HaKadosh passed away should be slain by the sword. And the question is, because why should they be slain by the sword if they pray, if they say that Rabbi died? Because they wanted everybody to continue praying, and even if he died, they wanted them to continue praying just in case there would be Tehiyat HaMetim, that he would come back. So they didn't want anybody to say that he died, because if he really died, the people would still pray, and he would make Tehiyat HaMetim. That's why Shita Mekubeset explains. In any event, Selika Amted Rabbi Le'igra. So the servant, the maidservant of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, went up to the roof. Amra, she said, Elyonim mevakshim et Rabbi. The angels in the Shamayim, they want Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Ve'atachtonim mevakshim et Rabbi. And the rabbis here on earth, they also want Rabbi. Hi ratzon, sheyachufu tachtonim et alyonim. May it be the will that the people below, meaning the people on earth, should overpower the Elyonim, those in the Shamayim, those in the heavens. Kevan dechazai, but once she saw, kama zimne da'ayi lebet kiseh, how many times Rabbeinu HaKadosh needed to enter the bathroom? Now she writes, dechole me'ayim havale, because he had intestinal problems, vechalat stefilin. And every time he went into the bathroom, he had to take off his stefilin, umanachlew, and put them down. Vekam stagir. And it was causing him tremendous sorrow every time he has to go to the bathroom, take off the tefillin, and then put them back on. Now, Amra, she said, Yiratzon, sheyachufu elyonim et tachtonim. She saw the rabbi was going through so much pain, she said, you know what? I hope that the elyonim, the ones in heaven, will overpower the tachtonim, the ones below. Meaning she prayed for the Ben Rakadosh to die. Tosfot points out on the top, Tosfot on Manach Tefillin. V'afagav shecholei me'ayim petrim on the Tefillin tefi she'en yichulim lizahir yatev. Ava Rabbeinu haya manhig et atzmo b'chdusha yoter midai v'haya yodei yatev lizahir. Even though normally somebody that has intestinal problems is patur from wearing Tefillin, but the Ben Rakadosh was able to watch himself, b'ktusha, and was not a problem for him to wear the tefillin, even though he had a problem of intestinal issues. Comes the Gemara and says, "Ve'lo avu shatke rabbanam elivrei rachameh." That even though she prayed for Rabbeinu HaKadosh to pass away, but the rabbis did not stop praying. Which means the rabbis were still praying for him to live. So long as the rabbis were praying, Rabbeinu HaKadosh was holding on to life. Shakla kuza, so she took a little earthenware jug. Shadya me'igra le'ara. So she threw it off the roof, and it landed on the ground, and it shattered. It made a big noise. Ishtiku me'rahame. So they kept quiet for 1 second from praying, from the noise, from the sudden noise that they heard. So they kept quiet. And all of a sudden, v'nachnav shed Rabbi, and all of a sudden, Rabbeinu HaKadosh indeed passed away. Amru le'rabbanan bar kapara. So Rabbanan told bar kapara, zil ayin. Go and analyze and see if indeed he passed away. Azal, he went, ashkeched v'nachnav sheh. He saw that indeed he passed away. Kara'e l'lbusheh. So he made kiri'ah, he ripped his clothes, v'ahadere l'kara'e l'achoreh. And he turned his shirt backwards in order that they should not see his
Kiri'ah, because he did not want the people to know that the Ben Kadosh passed away, because he didn't want to say it explicitly. You're not supposed to say explicitly when somebody passes away. So if the Kiri'ah would have been in the front, it would have been obvious. So he put the Kiri'ah in the back. In any event, Patal ve'amar, so he opened and he said the following: Ir elim umsukim ahazu ba'aron ha'kodesh. Ir elim means the angels, umsukim, and the righteous ones. Who's the righteous ones referring to? This is, some say it's the righteous ones, meaning like the malachim. Ahazu ba'aron ha'kodesh. They have to hold of the aron ha'kodesh, which means Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Which means, again, Et elim umsukim ahazu ba'aron ha'kodesh. The angels, which is in the Shamayim, and the righteous ones, that's the tzaddikim on earth, they were tugging at the aron ha'kodesh of Rabbi. The Hachamim want Rabbi to stay on earth, and the Malachim are tugging to keep Rabbeinu, to bring Rabbeinu HaKadosh back to the Shammai. Nitzchu el helim et ha-mitzukim. The angels beat out the tzaddikim. V'nishba Aron HaKodesh. And the Holy Ark was captured. Amnu le. So the rabbi said to Bar Kapara, after they heard this, Nach nafshe. Does it mean Rabbeinu HaKadosh died? Amadehu atun ke'amritu. You said it. V'ana lo kamina, and I did not say it, because again, like we said, the Rabbeinu Bar Kapara did not want to be the bearer of bad tidings, like the pasuk says, umotzi diba hu kisil, and therefore he did not want to say it explicitly, or he didn't want to go against what the rabbi said in the beginning of the Gemara, that nobody should explicitly say that Rabbeinu HaKadosh died. In any event, the Gemara continues, B'sha'at b'tirato shel Rabbi, at the time of Rabbeinu HaKadosh is passing, Zakaf Eser Esbe'otav Klapei Ma'ala, he extended his 10 fingers towards the heaven, and Amar, he said, Rabbono shel Olam, Galui v'yadua lefanecha, it is known and revealed in front of you, Shehagati b'Eser Esbe'otav, but Torah, that I toiled with my 10 fingers in the study of Torah, which means I studied with all my strength. And I did not enjoy any worldly pleasures, even to the toil of my little finger, which means I had no hana'ah of any pleasures of this world. Even to the toil of my little finger. Maybe you will. There should be peace in my place of eternal rest. Heavenly voice came out and said, he will come with peace and they will rest upon their resting place. So the Gemara now asks a question. It should say that you will rest on your resting place, meaning it should say al mishkavecha, on your resting place. What does the pasuk mean when it says yanuhu al mishkevotam, on their resting place? Why does it use a plural lashon? Misaya le Rabbi Chaya bar Gamda. The Amar Rabbi Chaya bar Gamda Amar Rabbi Yosef ben Shaul. Mishash as Sadiq niftar min haolam. At a time when the Sadiq leaves this world, Omrim alakhe asharet of Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the angels come in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, Ribono shel Olam, Sadiq pedoni ba. This righteous one, so and so, is coming. Omed laem, so Borei Olam says, Yavu'u tzaddikim v'yetzu liklato. Okay, let the Sadiqim, the righteous ones, come out of their resting place and go greet him. V'omrim lo, when the righteous ones come out, they say to the new arrival, Yavu'u b'shalom, he will come in peace. Yanuchu al mishkevotam, and then they return to their resting places. So therefore it says Yanuchu al mishkevotam. Now, we know that we learned in another Gemara in Berachot that says when somebody is talking to a niftar, when he's leaving the niftar, a deceased one, he tells them, Lech leshalom. Well, actually, lech beshalom. When you're talking to somebody that's living, you say lech leshalom. Now, why do you say lech beshalom to a deceased one? Because Beis Shalom means go with your completeness, with all the accomplishments that you accomplish in this world. Now go to your final resting place, Beis Shalom, with the accomplishments. To a living person, you say, Lech Leshalom, go to your accomplishments, which means you're still alive, you still have a chance to elevate yourself. So that's what I tell him, Yavo Beis Shalom. He will come with his completeness, with his, with all his accomplishments. In any event, the Gemara comes along and says, that's why it says Mishkevotam, because it's referring to the tzaddikim that come to greet the tzaddik. So therefore, they go back to their resting places. Amar Rabbi Elazar, b'sha'as ha'tzaddik nifnar min ha'olam. When a righteous person leaves this world, shalosh kitot shemalachei ha'sharet yotzot likrato. So there's three groups of angels that go out and meet him. Achat omeret lo. One of them says, bo b'shalom. Right, we said, come with peace. Now, Hatomera one says, Holech nechoho. This is the one that walked a straight path. We're referring to the tzaddik that walked a straight path in life. Ve'achatomera to yavod shalom yanuchu al neshkevotam. He will come with peace, and they, the tzaddikim that came to greet him, will go back to their resting place. When the wicked person leaves this world, there's three groups of destruction, destructing angels that come to meet him. One says, there is no peace, Hashem says, regarding the wicked. One says, Lema'atseba yishkav, he will lie down in sorrow. Lehato merit lo, reda vehoshkeba et alelim, descend and lay down with those that are blocked, that are, those of the blocked heart. Jeez, those that are stout hearted, that did not serve Borei Olam. So therefore we see that what? That there's a difference between the greeting of the tzaddikim, obviously, and the greeting of the Rasha'im. The Rasha'im are greeted with three angels that come and predict to the Rasha now of gloom, where the tzaddikim are greeted with three groups of angels that talk about their final resting place that is going to be in peace. Comes the next Mishnah. The Mishnah reads, Kol zeman shehi bebet aviha, so long as the almana remains by her father's house, which means her husband died, so she moved back to her father. Gova ketubata le'olam, so she has rights to her ketubah forever. Kol zeman shehi bebet ba'ala, but if she decides to remain by her husband's house, which she has the right to do that, gova ketubata ad 25 shanim, so then she can only have rights to claim her ketubah within 25 years, which means if she didn't claim her ketubah after 25 years, she loses it. Well, what's the logic of Rabbi Meir? This is Rabbi Meir Shita. Sheyesh b'chafesh shanim she'taaseh tova keneged ketubatah de Rabbi Meir. Because in 25 years, living by her husband's house, what normally happens is the neighbors usually come over and they ask to borrow certain things. So she lends out salt or different items like water and stuff like that. So therefore, bread, I should say, and therefore that costs money. So the rabbis figured in 25 years, with all the things she lent out from her husband's estate, she ended up getting a ketubah from that. So therefore she's paid out. So if she claims it within 25 years, she gets a ketubah. But after 25 years, when she didn't claim it, we say it's over. And it's only by bet ba'ala, because by bet ba'ala, again, she lends out things to the neighbor, like anybody would lend out things to the neighbor. So after 25 years, we say already, with all the things she lent out, it's paid up already. But when she's up by her father's house, even if she's lending out things to the neighbors, it's not from the husband's estate, it's from her father's money. So therefore, she doesn't lose her ketubah forever. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir, Shaman Meshum Rashbag, in the name of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Nachamim Omrim, Nachamim say no, Kol zeman shehi bebet ba'ala, the opposite. That so long as she's living by her husband's house, gova ketubata le'olam, she gets a ketubah forever. But the opposite, but she's living by her father's house. So she has only 25 years. And we'll see exactly the logic of the Hachamim. Let's read the Mishnah, the Rashi in the Mishnah. The Hachamim omrim, this 25-year business, which means it's nothing to do with 20 years, have nothing to do with the favors that she does for the neighbors, therefore they deduct it from her ketubah. Ve'lo afsidu rabbanan ketubah. Sheskiru asim hamesh, when they mention this 25 years, l'inyan ha-mechila uskiru. That's got to do with, is she mohela ketubah or not? Do'il v'shatka ve'lo tam'a kod ha-shenim alalu. We could assume that if she kept quiet, and she didn't claim her ketubah all those years, mahalta, she was mohela ketubah. Hilkach, kodzeman, she bebet ba'ala. So long as she's by the husband's house, and shtikata mechila. We assume that what? Her shetika is not considered a mechila. Which means, even though she kept quiet for more than 25 years, we don't consider that she's mohela ketubah. So why did she keep quiet? And since they're giving her respect, they're feeding her, they're taking care of her, he bosha limkot al ketubah. She's embarrassed. Already she's taking from the estate, the Yerushima taking care of her, so she's embarrassed to ask for the ketubah. So therefore, the fact that she kept quiet does not interpret as a mechila. But in her father's house, she's being supported by her father. So already, after 25 years, you can assume that indeed she was mohel. So let's review the machlok between Rabbi Meir and Hachemi. Rabbi Meir explains that what? That dafka, when she is bebet aviha, so then she gets the ketubah forever. However, when she's bit ba'ala, when she's by the husband's house, she only has 25 years. Why? Because for all the things that she lends out to the neighbors over the course of the 25 years, already a ketubah is paid out. However, according to Hakim, they say the opposite, that when she is by bit ba'ala, she can claim her ketubah forever. But by bet aviyah, only 25 years. And the reason why bet ba'alah, she can claim forever, is because we assume that the reason why she didn't open her mouth, because she's embarrassed. Because she's getting so much already from support, so she doesn't want to ask for the ketubah. Masha'ega, when she's by bet aviyah, she shouldn't be embarrassed. If she kept quiet after 25 years, we assume that it is indeed a mechila. Meta. Now let's say the almana dies. Yorsheha mazkirin ketubata adesim v'hamesh shanim. So now the ketubah goes to the yorshim, her inheritors. They also have 25 years, which means from when the husband dies, the clock continues, and the yorshim have 25 years before they claim, until 25 years to claim the ketubah. Amale Abaye Rav Yosef. So Abaye tells Rav Yosef, according to Rabbi Meir, that we said the logic of the 25 years when she's by Bet Ba'ala is why? Because that she's always lending out things to the neighbors, so therefore, over the course of 25 years, she's going to end up giving away the amount of her ketubah. So the Gemara says, "Aniyah should be Israel ad 25 shanim." You want to tell me that this is the standard shi'ud? That 25 years is the standard shi'ud, let's say, for a poor lady that has a small ketubah. Umarta bat baitos. Marta bat baitos was a lady who was one of the wealthy ladies of Yerushalayim. Ad 25 shanim? You're going to tell me also what? That's also 25 years? Which means she has a much bigger ketubah. So therefore, it doesn't make sense that she should have the same amount of 25 years as Aniyah, which means what her ketubah should take much longer. To if she's lending out things to the neighbors and things like that, it should take much longer to deplete the amount of the ketubah. Amale, so the Gemara says, Lefum gamla shihna. According to the strength of the camel, that is the load. Which they meant to say is that you're right, a lady that's rich like Marta bat Baitos, true, she has a big ketubah, but she also lends her neighbors more as well. She's not lending just salt and bread. She must lend the neighbors more value. So therefore, it's the same thing. The 25 years, each one according to their strength, that's the way they are going to give gifts to the neighbors. So therefore, it works out the same. What about splitting the ketubah in parts? Which means, what does that mean? Let's say she's not mochel after, she didn't open her mouth, but she opened her mouth, let's say, after 20 years. So now do we deduct from the ketubah 20 years worth? Or for every year that she didn't open her mouth, do we deduct 1/25th? Which means, you could argue and say, listen, since the whole logic is what? That every year that she's giving money to the neighbors, that should be deducted in ketubah. That's why after 25 years she loses the whole ketubah. So maybe we should also do it partially. I mean, maybe let's say she doesn't, she claims a ketubah after 20 years. So therefore, for every year that she didn't open her mouth, we have to deduct 1/25th of the ketubah. Do we do that or do we say no? It's a set price, which means as long as she claims before 25 years, she gets the whole ketubah. So the Gemara says to this, tiku. The Gemara leaves it in a question for Eliyahu Navi Zachulatov. Comes the Gemara and continues, and the Achamim come along and say that what? That so long as she is in her husband's house, she gets the ketubah. So he goes, let's say she comes a minute before sunset of the 25th year. So what's the law? She gets a ketubah because she came within 25 years. She made it 1 minute before sunset. But let's say she comes 1 minute after shkiyat tahama, she doesn't get a ketubah. Are you going to tell me that what? That in that small amount of time she was mohel the ketubah? Because what's the shtav to Hachamim? Hachamim said that after 25 years and she didn't open her mouth, you assume that she's mohel the ketubah. So you tell me what? A minute before she came, she wasn't mohel the ketubah. She comes a minute later, you say what? Since she forego the ketubah, makes a difference in a minute? That's what you're telling me? So the Gemara says, Amar le'in. Yes, you have to say that. Call me dat Hachamim kenu. The rabbis, whenever they give a shi'ur, they have to give a cutoff point. They can't just say, well, you know, okay, we'll give another minute. They have to say, listen, the cutoff point is 25 years. Yes, you're right. If she comes a minute after 25 years, she loses it. If she comes a minute before, she gets it. That's the shul of the Hachamim. They're precise measurements. For example, Barba'im se'ah tovel. The person wants to go to the mikveh. So the rabbi said you need 40 se'ah of water in the mikveh. Barba'im se'ah hased kotov. Let's say a guy goes to the mikveh and it's 39.999. The law is, he did not fulfill the mezav tevilah. So you tell me what, makes a difference between the drop? Yes, the rabbi said 40 sa, it's 40 sa. Less than 40 sa, even by a drop, he's not yotze. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, ve'ayit Rabbi Yishma b'Rabbi Yoseh, lefnei Rabbi Shamar Mishum Abiv. So now we go into another point. Lo shanu ela she'en shtar ketubah yotze mitachat yadeha. Which means, all this that we said, that what? That we have a 25-year rule, that's talking about where she doesn't have the actual shtar ketubah in her hands. Avah, shtar ketubah yotze mitachat yadeh, but if she has the actual shtar itself, gova ketubata le'olam, she's able to collect the ketubah forever. And then she explains, because if she was going to be mohel, she'd give the ketubah back to the husband. And that would be the biggest sign of mechila. She would just give the ketubah back. So as long as she's holding a ketubah, this shita says she has claims forever. Our Mishnah was discussing only where she does not have a ketubah, so then the 25-year rule kicks in. The Rabbi El-Azhar Amar, Rabbi El-Azhar comes along and says, "Afilu shtar ketubah yotze mitacht yadeh." Even if she has a shtar ketubah, ena gova ela ad asim v'chamesh shanim. Still, the 25-year rule applies, even with a ketubah. So, then we have a fantastic machloket over here: if it applies with a ketubah or without a ketubah. Now, you might ask that if she doesn't have a ketubah, how is she able to be gove ketubah? How is she able to collect the ketubah if she doesn't have the actual ketubah? So the Gemara is really going to ask this question a little later. So we're able to say that, let's say she had witnesses. Let's say that her husband died. So once you have witnesses that her husband died, so that's already enough for her to collect the ketubah. In any event, the Gemara says, we have a machloket now. Right? One shita comes along and says, that's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. And the name of Rabbi Yishma of Rabbi Yosi, he said what? That as long as she has a ketubah in her hand, it's forever. She does not have a 25-year rule. She can get paid forever. However, according to the shita of Rabbi Elazar, he says, no, even if she has a ketubah in her hand, she cannot get paid only up to 25 years. Mativ Rav Sheshat. So he asks a question on Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. We have a braita. The braita says, Baal Chov Goveh Shelo Be'askara, which means a Baal Chov, somebody that's owed money, there's no 25-year rule, which is even after 25 years, he's still able to claim his debt, what he's owed. Shelo Be'askara, I mean, even if he didn't mention anything. Hechidamen, I'll give it on, say, what's the case where he has the claim? He's not holding a shtar. If the malve is not holding a shtar, well, how is he going to claim the chov? Ela dinakishtra, must be the case of talking about where he's holding a shtar. So we say that dafka bal chov, the malve, so it's owed money. So we say that in 25 years space, it doesn't mean he's mohel, right? And therefore, we're talking about he has a shtar. And because he lent money, he wants his money back. He's not going to be mohel. Almana achelta. But I can make it, you can say, but an almana that's holding a ketubah, after 25 years, she's going to be mohel. Because since she was benefited from the yitomim, so maybe she is mohel. So the Gemara asked the question against somebody with that Marav. Even if a lady has a ketubah, it's masper, after 25 years, she's mohel. Only a baal chov. We say that after 25 years, is not mohel, because why should he be mohel? He money, wants his money back. Gemara says, humotiv la, humifarek la. Rav Sheshat asks the question, Rav Sheshat answers the question. Humotiv la, humifarek la. Le'olam, delon nakit shtara. Really, I'll tell you the case we're talking about where the baal chov is not holding a shtar. If he's not holding a shtar, so then how does he prove that he's owed the money? So we're talking about where the hayav was modeh, meaning the love, the one that borrowed the money is being modeh that he did indeed borrow. So therefore, that law over there is even after 25 years he gets paid, because we don't say he's mohel. However, when a lady doesn't have a ketubah after 25 years, we say she is indeed mohel. So it comes out according to this answer that what, at least at this point over here, that by a baal chov that's not holding a shtar, it's le'olam, right? In the case you're talking about, how is he going to get claim? How is he claiming his money with the loveh is modeh that he owes the money? And according in the case of the lady, the deen is that if she's not holding a shtar, so then the 25 year rule applies. Comes the Gemara and says, what do you mean? Rabbi Ila said Shonin, which means we learned in this. The rabbis of the Braita said Girusha. We learned the rabbis of the Braita said Girusha Harei Kebala Tov, that a lady that gets divorced has the same status of somebody that's a Baal Chov that's owed money. Meaning what? What's the case? If it's talking about a person. The lady doesn't have a ketubah. She got divorced. She doesn't have a ketubah. Bemai gavya. How's she getting her ketubah? She doesn't have a ketubah. Then elanav dinikita ketubah. Must be talking about a gerusha that she has a shtar in her hand. Oh, and it's saying ugrusha he delav bat acholei, which means we're going to say that a gerusha that's holding a shtar, because otherwise how's she going to get paid the ketubah? She has the shtar, and therefore we're saying what she gets the ketubah payment even after 25 years, like a baal chov. Just like we said, there's no statute of limitations by a baal chov. He could claim it whenever he wants. So we say gerusha is like a baalat chov. And the case talking about where she has a shtar. And what's the logic? Because we say gerusha has never been mohel. Why should she be mohel? She got divorced. She hates the husband. Therefore, we can assume that why she's never mohel, just like a baal chov. So the Gemara says, ha almana, but an almana, after 25 years, achelta. And it's master over there, even if she's holding a shtar. So you see what? That after 25 years, even if she's holding a shtar, almana already is going to be mohel. So therefore we have a question. Which means, you came along and said that when she's holding the shtar, so then she can claim forever. You see, not like that. You see, only a girusha that's holding a shtar can claim forever. Masha'en ken, and almanats, mashpats, also the 25-year rule applies. Comes goes, hachanamek, shechayav, modeh. Now I can tell you the case of the Girusha is talking about where she does not have a ketubah. So how is she getting her money? The husband himself is modeh that he owes the ketubah that he didn't pay. So therefore, she's able to get without a shtar. And that's why even in almana, in that case as well, which means really I'll tell you the case is talking about kishayav modeh. The case that we said baal chov is like a gerusha, it's talking about where there was no shtar. Where there was no shtar, just like a baal chov can get paid forever. And what's the case talking about where the loveh is modeh that he owes the money? I'll say the same case of a gerusha where the husband is modeh that he owes the money. In that case over there it's le'olam. But if there was a that case was le'olam. However, if there was a shtar, if there's a shtar, so then the 25-year rule applies. And that's exactly what Rabbi Marav that said, if there was a shtar, let's say by the almana has a ketubah, she only has 25 years. And what's the logic? Because if she didn't open her mouth at 20, she did that what? She would have given the... I'm sorry, I take it back. In the case of a shtar, so therefore she can get a ketubah forever. Why could she get a ketubah forever? Because the case is talking about... Because if she was mohel, she would give back the ketubah to the husband. So let's just review until this point over here. Let's just review what we said. We brought a question. The question was from a baal chov. a ba'al chov, that somebody is owed money, he has no statute of limitations. He can claim his money even if he didn't open his mouth, even after 25 years. So we originally said, what's the case of the ba'al chov? So we thought it's talking about, well, if he's not holding a shtar, so how can he get his chov? So we must have said, well, the case talking about the ba'al chov is actually holding the shtar. So we said, oh, he's holding a shtar, and what's the logic? The Baal Hov, he's not going to be mohel because he's owed the money. Mashiach and Almanad that's holding a shtar, after 25 years, I'll say that she'll be mohel. So that's a question on Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. So the Gemara says, no, we're talking about a case where there was no shtar. How can it be no shtar? Because it's talking about a case where the Loveh himself is modeh, that he owes the money. Good. So now we're coming on to what we have a statement that says Gerusha is like a Baal Chov. That's just like a Baal Chov has unlimited time to claim the money. So to a Gerusha as well. And what are we talking about? Must be talking about a case we're talking about where they have a shtar. Right? So because otherwise, how could the Gerusha get paid? And what are we saying? The Gerusha only when she has a shtar. So therefore, we say what? It's she's not going to be Mohel because she hates the husband. So therefore, we say in that case over there, it's La'olam. Masha'enken a Almana. Amana, maybe even though she has a shtar, could be she only has 25 years. Question against Rabbi Amarab. Gemara says, no, we're talking about a case over here where there was no shtar. If there was no shtar, how did the Gerusha get her money? So we're talking about a case, we're talking about where the husband is modeh, they did not pay. But in the Chaname, if the Amana had a shtar, it would be like Rabbi Amarab, the one she's goveh, the ketubah, le'olam. She gets the ketubah, indeed, forever. Continue. Amarab Amar Yishak, Tani Rabbi Yehuda bar Kaza. So we learned in the Braita of Rav Yehuda bar Kaza b'matnita, in the Braita debe bar Kaza, in the debe b'drash bar Kaza tava'a ketubata. Let's say a lady, she claims her ketubah within 25 years, harei kebetechila. So what happens is the clock starts over again, which is even though she didn't get her ketubah, once she already claims her ketubah, so already, she shows that she's not mohel, and therefore you start the clock again for the new 25 years from the time that she claimed. And he also said another thing, that if she has a shtar ketubah in her hands, she's able to get her ketubah forever, like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. So we learned in this Braita two interesting laws. Law number one is that what? That once a lady makes a claim for a ketubah, finished, the clock stops and starts all over again. I guess the case is talking about when she made a claim for a ketubah, for some reason she didn't get paid it right away. So therefore, she has a new 25 years from the time she claimed. And number two, we select Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, that if she's holding a ketubah, so she has the claim forever. Shalach le Rav Nachman bar Chizda, the Rav Nachman bar Yaakov, yelamedenu rabbeinu, you should teach us, kishishtar ketubah yotzeh mitachat yada. When the lady is holding the ketubah, machloket, which means, in the Mishnah, the machloket is going to be in Chachamim, do we say that machloket is talking about when she's holding the shtar, or kishin shtar ketubah ta yotzeh mitachat yada? Or maybe the 25-year rule is only talking about what? When there's no shtar ketubah. Second question, and then my next question is, who do we follow? Rabbi Meir or Hakamim? Shalach leis, Rav Omer Yaakov sends to Rav Nachman bar Rav Chizda, kishen pshtar ketubah yotzeh mitachat yada machloket. The only machloket of 25 years is when there's no ketubah. Aval shtar ketubah yotzeh mitachat yada, but if she has a shtar ketubah, gova ketubah ta le'olam. She gets a ketubah forever. We like the opinion we saw above of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, because we say so long as she's holding ketubah, she's not mochel, because if she was mochel, she'd give the ketubah back to the husband. To the heirs. And halakha follows the opinion of Hakamim that what? That when she is by Bet Aviha, when she's living by her father, we follow the 25-year rule. However, when she's by Bet Baala, even if she doesn't have a ketubah, she is able to get the ketubah forever because we assume that she's embarrassed to claim it. Comes the Gemara says, "Ketar Avdimi, Amar Bishimon Ben Pazi." When Avdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amar Bishimon Ben Pazi, Amar Yosha Ben Levi Bishu Bar Kapora. Lo Shanu. This that we said, the 25 years. That after 25 years, she's mochel. Ela Mane Umatayim. That's only talking about the ikar ketubah, 100 or 200 if she was a betula. Aval Tosefet. That's the extra that the husband's mosif on the ketubah, so that she's not mochelit. Yes, she's going to get that regardless. Which means, on the Tosefet Ketubah, she is not Mochet. Rabbi Abu Amar, Rabbi Yohanan said, Afilu Tosefet Enna. He comes along and says that even on the Tosefet, just like she's Mochet Ketubah, she's Mochet Tosefet Ketubah as well. Amar Ibo Amar Yanai Tanai Ketubah. Tanai Ketubah is another way of saying Tosefet Ketubah. Ketubah Dame is as a dean of Ketubah. Therefore, when she's Mochet Ketubah, because she's Mochet also the Tosefet Etman Name, Amar Bi Abba Maravuna Amar Rav Lo, Shanu Elamene Matayim. So someone has said that the 25-year rule only applies to the 100 or the 200, meaning the Ikar Ketubah, but Tosefet, Yeshta. But the Tosefet, she's not Mochel. Amar Le Rabbi Abad Ravuna, Amar Rav Ache. So when Ravuna heard this, actually when Rabbi Abba heard in the name of Ravuna that he said in the name of Rav, that what? That there's a difference between Ketubah and Tosefet. Ketubah, she's mochelet after 25 years, but not the Tosefet. So he says, Amar Rabbi Abba, le Rav Huna. So he tells Rav Huna, Amar Rav Ache, did Rav indeed say that? So Amar le, so Rav Huna tells Rabbi Abba, Ishtikan ka'amart, or Ashkiyan ka'amart? What are you asking? Are you asking me to silence me? When I said that Rav holds that, are you saying, did he really say that? Are you asking because you don't like what you're hearing? Because you argue on that opinion? And you hold that even on the Tosefet, she is Mochel? Or it's Ashtikan, you want to silence me? Or Ashkiyan, you want to give me a glass of wine? Ashkiyan, Ashkot, Ashkot. Maybe you're happy that Rav said such a thing and you agree with it. But you're basically saying, when you're asking me, did Rav say this? Are you asking me this question to challenge me or to support me? So Gemara says, again, Ashtikan Kamat, which means you're trying to shut me up because you argue with this opinion of Rav, or Ashkiyan, or you're happy that Rav said, you want to give me a glass of wine. So Gemara says, Amale Ashtikan Kamina, I'm trying to silence you because I don't agree with Rav. I go like the Yohanan that says there's no difference between the Ketubah and the Tosefet Ketubah. Gemara continues, Hamte de Rav Hiya Aricha, the mother-in-law of Rav Hiya Aricha, Intat Ahu Havai, was also the wife of his brother. Ve'almana bebet Abiya Havai. So that means Rav Hiya's brother passed away, so his mother-in-law, also was his sister-in-law, became an almana, and she went back to Bet Abiya, she went back to her father's house. Now in this case, over there was no children, and therefore the inheritor was Rav Hiya. He was the inheritor of the estate. Now the law is that the inheritors, the Yorashim, have to support the Almana. So therefore the law was that Rav Hiya has to support his mother-in-law, which is actually the Almana of his brother. But the estate supports the Almana, so he has to support. Havai. Vezana 25 shenin bebe nasha. And he supported her for 25 years by her father's house. Thereof, at the end of 25 years, Amra le avli mezoneh. So she came along and said, okay, give me, continue giving me mezonot. Amar la let lach mezoneh. You don't get any more mezonot. Avli ketubah. Pay me my ketubah. Amar la lo mezoneh itlach velo ketubah itlach. You don't get mizonot and you don't get ketubah. Rashi explains. In that, ahu avai umet belo banim veyershu Rav Hiya achiv. Good, so Rav Hiya was the yoresh. Lo ketubah velo mizonot. The almana bebet aviha. We learned, according to the Rabbanan of the Mishnah, that when an almana goes to back to her father's house, ena gova ela ad chafesh shanin. The maximum is after 25 years. After that, she loses mezonot and she does not get her ketubah. She didn't claim it. She only woke up after 25 years. So therefore, he says, I'm not giving you anything. It's over. 25 years passed. So the Gemara says, Tav'ate ledina kamed Rabba Bar Shila. So she brought him to court. She brought him to the betin of Rabba Bar Shila. Amar le. So Rabba Bar Shila tells of Hiya, Emali Izi, tell me, my beloved one, Gufad de Uvda Hechiava. Tell me the story. Tell me the facts of the story so we can judge it. Amale Zanita Islim Bahamesh Shanim Bebenasha. I supported her 25 years when she was living by her
father's house. Behayed demoran, I swear, the bechetfae amta'ela. On my shoulders, I delivered the food to her. Which means I did my responsibility. I went myself, I delivered the food on my shoulders to give her the panasa. Amar le, so the rabbi, the rabbi Shila comes along and says, if that's the case, ta'ama mai amura banan kozimanchi bibet ba'ala govak ketubata le'olam. What's the reason why the rabbi said that when she's living by bet ba'ala, when she's living by her husband, why could she claim her ketubah forever? What was the logic? Why is there no statute? Da'aminina mishum kesufahu. She's embarrassed. De'lo tav'a. She's embarrassed not to, she's embarrassed to claim a ketubah because she's getting mizonot constantly. So she feels like it's greedy to now ask for the ketubah. So same thing over here. The way you supported her in such a hashuv way, you delivered the food and all that. Hachanameh mishum kesufah de lo tav'a. The reason why she didn't claim it within 25 years because she was embarrassed. You're supporting her so well. So therefore, go with the sevara. And therefore, even though 25 years passed, the embarrassment factor still applies, therefore you gotta go pay the ketubah. Zil hafla. So he says, go pay her. Lo ashkach. He didn't pay attention. He didn't listen to the ruling. Katav la adrachta anichse. So he took it to the next level. He wrote him a document, we'll call it the document is an adrachta, but it's a seizure document. What does that document say? That now she has rights to go and actually seize the property. She can go now and make a seizure on the property. Rashi, adrachta, psag din, it's actually a written document of psag din, ligbot nechasa b'chol asher timsa. Whatever properties you find in Avchaya's estate, you can take them. Ata lekamed Rava. Okay, so now Rav Chaya comes in front of Rava. Amar le hazimor hechadinan. Look at this, how Rav Abba Shila ruled against me over here. He said that I didn't have to pay her. Amar le, so he says to Rav Chaya, Shapir denach. He judged correctly, which means you do owe him the ketubah. So once she heard that, she comes and says, "Amra le iache li zila de li peri diminahu yoma adeidana." Now, not only do I want my money from the ketubah from the field, but I want the perot from the time that the seizure document was written. Already, she's claiming that the field belongs to me, and therefore, all the perot, all the fruit that grew on that field from the time that the document was written. Now that comes to me. So now she wants also ketubah plus the perot. Now she's not asking for anything extra because she's really saying from the time that the document is written, I have a claim on that property. Therefore, I want the property plus backdate me the perot from that time. That she amra lel rava lehedar li pire de ara de shiur ketubatai de achal miyomad ichtebali adrachta alayu. Write me, give me the perot from the day that the adrachta was written. I want them. From that day on, they're in my possession. That field is in my possession. I want the perot. So comes the Gemara and says, actually, Rashi just continues for a second and says, Dachi amar abba perek ha-mafkid, gebeshumat betin, lokeyach me'ematai achil perez. There's actually a mahloket. When you write an adrachta, when a seizure document, when exactly does the lokeya start to eat perot? So that she says, couple of shitore, Amar Rabba, mechi matad rachta liyadeh. Once she has the document in her hand, that's already, she starts eating perot. Abaye Amar, mishinehtema. When the document is actually signed by Betin. Rabba Amar, mechi shalmu yume akhlasta. Rabba says different shit. He says you have to actually announce the field for sale for 30 days in order that you can get the, you don't have to give her a field, you can pay her money. But you want to get the best price for the field. So after 30 days, they announced it, then already the perot to kick in. So she was claiming, listen, I want the perot from the day that the document was written, and if you tell me he judged correctly, so therefore I want the field plus the perot. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar la ahvili adrechtich. So the rabbi says, Rabbi says, okay, show me your adrechtich. I want to see the paper. I want to see the seizure document. Hazia de loava katuvba, he saw that it wasn't written correctly, because it wasn't written the ishtemodana, and Betty knows, ishtemodana, we are aware, the nechasim elu de mitna inu, that this field belongs to the deceased. Which means like this, which fields does the lady have a shabud for a ketubah? Her husband's field. which means her husband died, Rav Chiya Aricha inherited. Now there's no claim on Rav Chiya's personal fields. She hears no from his fields this ketubah. It's on the deceased property. So really the right way to write the adrachta is that we've clarified that, you know, this property over here is a property that was inherited by the brother of the deceased. It's coming from the deceased estate. And then already the claim is good. However, Rabba Bar Shila, when he wrote the adrachta, he wrote that all the fields of Rav Chiya are open to pay the ketubah. That's not so. So that he says, yeah, drachta is wrong, and therefore forget about it. You're getting, you're not getting anything. And as she says, ishtemu da'na, hekarnu shanichasim alalu shekatavnu adrachta zu alem shelmet hayu. We are aware that the money, the fields that we're letting you seize, are the fields of the deceased. Shishabet ketubata shezu alem. So he says, "Lav shapir ketiva shirichteva al kol sadot shel ze." The drachta was written for all the fields. The sadot shelo elam mishubat adchutubatek ela otan shiras mebalech. Oh, so now she comes along and says, "Amar la." So the rabbi continues and says, "Adrachta lav shapir ketiva." The drachta was not written correctly. Therefore, you get nothing. So she says, "Wait, amra le tizil adrachta." Okay, forget about the adrachta. Make believe the adrachta doesn't exist. Ishkol miyoma dishlime yoma achrasta adashta, which means I should at least get paid from the day that the achraza, according to Rava, he held like we just learned. He had, when you write an achrasta, when you write a adrachta, the seizure document, you don't collect the property until you announce it to the Sibur for 30 days in order to get the highest price. Mm-hmm. And after 30 days, then already the property goes to the lady in this case. So she's saying, let's forget about it. Bottom line, I came to Beit Din. I showed Beit Din a document. Beit Din did announce for 30 days that there are properties that are for sale. And since the properties were up for sale after 30 days, so therefore they should become to me, which is, forget about the fact that Beit Din went through the motions of announcing the property and getting the highest price possible for whatever property that was up for sale. So I should now be zochet to the field. Now she says, "Tizil adrachta, delo shepikidim, throw out the adrachta." I agree, it wasn't written correctly. Eshkol pidi, but I should get perot miyom shematzati sadem mesadot amet, which means I located one of the fields. She says, I went to Beit Din and said, all right, here's my adrachta, and that field, by the way, was my late husband's field. I located it, and Beit Din said, fine. And Beit Din went for 30 days and tried to sell it. So, what's the difference between adrachta and not? Beit Din went through the motions, on my word. I showed my adrachta to the Beit Din, and they evaluated the field based on the adrachta. They announced it for 30 days. Even according to Rava, who is the most mahmid opinion, he says, after 30 days, she gets to start eating perot. Amar la, so the rabbi says, no, sorry. Hani mi li'echa de'lo ketiv ta'uta ba'adrachta. That's only when the adrachta is written correctly. Aval, he'echa de'katav ta'uta ba'adrachta le'tlan ba. But again, the adrachta was wrong over here. We cannot, which is in the Chinami, you brought this document to the Beit Din, and you identified one of the fields, that this is the field that your husband left over, and Beit Din went through the process and all that. So she's saying, okay, forget about the adrachta, just give me the perot from that time. We can't give it to you. The document is written wrong, and therefore it doesn't count, and therefore you get nothing. So Amra Le, so she was a smart lady. She comes along to the rabbi and says, what are you talking about? The Amor, who the Amar Achrayut Ta'ut Soferu. You hold, Rabbi, that when a document is written, let's say so-and-so borrows money, okay? So-and-so borrows money, so now they write a document, right? He owes, you owe me such and such, such money. Now, normally, the malve is going to make sure that if he cannot get paid from the love, he's going to go after properties. Because he doesn't want to get not paid. So always he's going to make sure in the document it's going to say, and if I can't get paid by you, I'm going after properties that you sold after the loan was made, that's called likuhot, in order to take them. Nobody in his right mind is going to lend money without putting in the document likuhot. Now let's say a document was written on a loan and the likuhot was not mentioned in there. So you know what Abashita is? He can still go after likuhot. Because what do you say? Ta'ot sofer. You say the sofer just forgot
forgot to do it, forgot to put it in there. So she's telling the rabbi, same thing over here. So the adrachta was written wrong, meaning they wrote the adrachta for all the properties. And that's not right. You really have to write the adrachta on the properties of the deceased. Okay, so you hold up the Taos Sofer rule, just like my Shirbun yelled of that. So they would say the same Taos Sofer over here. Just say he made a mistake, but let everything be in order. You know, she knew the law. Amar la Rava, so Rava answers back then and says, no. Beha leka le mema ta'ut sofer. Over here, you can't use a sefer of ta'ut sofer. You know why? De beha afilu Rava bar shilat ta'ef. Because over here, it wasn't ta'ut sofer. The rabbi in Beti made a mistake. Which is, it wasn't like the rabbi told the sofer to write it one way and the sofer deleted something. The rabbi presiding over the case, Rava bar shah held that that's the way you write the adachta. Now he made a mistake. You don't write the so we only say Taut Sofer, but we don't say Taut Dayan. The judge himself made a mistake. So the Gemara says, what was he thinking about Rashila? So it says, Mi'ikara, hu savur hani vehani dide, mali mehane, mali mehane. He thought, listen, bottom line, it's got to come from Rav Hayah's estate somewhere, money for the ketubah. So what's the difference if it's going to come from his field? Or it's going to come from the field of the deceased. So therefore, he wasn't careful when he wrote the adrach. They said, "Listen, we have a seizure notice over here. She can seize any property of this rabbi." Also, the rabbi said, "Well, what do you mean? Any property? It's not any property. It's only the property of the deceased that he has." So the Gemara says, "Rabbi Bar Shila originally held. What's the difference? Bottom line, all the properties belong to him now. So what's the difference if it's from the field of the deceased or it's his own? He's going to have to shell out the same amount of money." So he said, there's no nafkamina really. That's why originally he wrote the document like that. That's a mistake. The Gemara says, why is that a mistake? Because veloi. It's not so. You know why? Because zimnin de'azla u'mishabbehalehu. Because what is she going to do? In such a case, where now she knows she can take any field, right? So she's going to have her eye on a certain field over there, and she's going to be meshabayach the field. She's going to go now and start working it, and, you know, making it nice and things like that. Udeba'ala mechasfe. And her husband's field, that really was coming to her, she'll just let it neglect. Because she has her eye on that other field. Because again, if you're giving her any property, so technically it's possible she can work on one field to be Meshabayahid. She'll start getting perot from that field, basically from when the Akhrazda, from the 30 days and all that. She's working that field. And what's going to end up happening? The Amar La, but the Rav Hayah could have said like this, Shakil Didach, Vehavli Didi. He'll come along now and say, listen, take yours and give me back mine. Now what's going to end up happening? She ends up losing out. Because if the inheritor comes along and says, take yours, what's yours? Take the one from your husband. Take the one from your husband. Now what? The husband just neglected that field. Now what ends up taking back? He takes back the field that was Mishumah. Which is by writing in this way over here, you're leaving it to for problems. And what's the people going to say? It's going to come out bad rumors on Beit Din. Why? Because Beit Din is going to say, you didn't protect this lady. This poor almana over here, you put her at a loss. So therefore, by writing that what the property that could be seized is dafka, property that we located and determined that is belonging to the deceased. Okay, good. Now, even if she's mishabeh that field, nothing can happen wrong. She's going to get that field because they put the seizure on it. But if they're going to put the, because any field you want, so she's going to work on one field, intending to get it. He'll come along and say, hey, I'm not giving you that field. Take the one from your husband. Take that one over there. Meanwhile, that one was neglected. Now, what are the people going to say? People are going to say, what kind of Beit Din is this? Beit Din is supposed to protect the almana. And instead of protecting the almana, they put her at a disadvantage. So that's why the adrakta was no good. And that's what Abba said. You don't get anything in this case. Let's read Rashi. Rashi says, the azla umeshabehalehu, right? Towards the end of the she's the sedeh sheshamula betin, which means why betin is going to come along. Let's say, let's speak out what's going to happen. They wrote the adrachta on all the fields. Okay, so now she's going to go to betin and say, you know what? I want to seize that field over there. So betin will look at the field. They'll give the right evaluations. Okay, you know, you can get that field, but you got to wait 30 days according to one shita after we announce it and all that to make sure that we get the best price. But meanwhile, what is she doing? She's working the field and all that. Then at the last minute, when she's about to take the field, you're worried about the inheritor going to come along and say, hey, wait, that's mine. Go take yours. And now what's going to happen? As she says,
Shelo yashpihem
ayoresh. Well, obviously the yoresh is not going to do anything to the, inherited field, because he's thinking in his mind, I'll unload that to the almana.
Shubatuach sheyachzor v'yikach
shelo. Because he says, I'm going to take what's mine.
Miyada v'yomar l'tli sheli. Give me back mine,
which means, or say, take from me the one that I had the shi'bud on. That's from the deceased.
And what's going to happen?
You didn't take care of this lady over here. You didn't care for her. So therefore, the Gemara says, since the adlach was written wrong, and the Rababash can't say ta'ut soferu, because the Dayan made a ta'ut. He thought that this would be beneficial, but it's not. And therefore, the deed is the adlach was no good. Therefore, she would not be allowed to accept, take a ketubah in this case. Adran, alach, and no se.